Our first reading today will be from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. This well-known Bible passage is rightly regarded as one of the most important in the Hebrew Bible. Jeremiah's ministry was around 627 to 586 BCE. He called the people of Judah to re-engage in a life faithful to the God of promise. Today's first lesson begins with a promise of new life from God, the generation of new people and animals, creation. The main act of creation will be a new covenant with the house of Israel. The gift of Torah, the law, is synonymous with covenant by this people, by this period in Israel. Torah, perhaps better translated than law, is the teaching or the way, or teaching about the way. Teaching about God's way to life, rather than our human way to death. What will be different about this new covenant? It will not be a set of new commandments or any innovative content. It will rather be a law within them, a law written on their hearts. The effect of this inwardly digested law will be, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Our second reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. The parable of the nagging widow and the stubborn judge illustrates the gap between those on the margins of society who are seeking justice and those in positions of power. A widow struggles to bridge the gap by nagging away at the man in power, the unjust judge. He is shameless, at least in his dealings with poor human beings. The judge comes over as a hardened character, interested in and only talking about himself. The widow is no softy either. She has threatened him with the black eye if he didn't listen. A persistent widow finally gets justice from a judge in this parable of Jesus. The widow has staying power. Then Jesus told them about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In the city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, Grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused. But later he said to himself, Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?
Many of you know, but there are some who don't, that for some 3 years, Judith and I spent time in a place called Aylesbury in Buckinghamshire in the UK as a minister of the Methodist Church, a full-time job, but we got to know the people very, very well and are still very close to them. One of the great things that we discovered was that the Methodist Church still maintains at the beginning of each church year the covenant service. And prior to that covenant service, the pastoral visitors go and take the membership card to all of the people. There were 10 churches in the circuit, so sometimes I would do the covenant service 4 times while other ministers in the circuit did the other churches. And it was always a highlight because it was a recommitment to be members of the church and good members of the church. This particular card has the name of one of our friends, the minister's name, and the pastoral visitor's name. It also has a slash that says pastoral visitor / class leader. Now, one or two people may remember that in the tradition of a particular denomination of which I was part, years ago, John Wesley, you may know which denomination I'm talking about, John Wesley got the class leaders going and classes where people would report every week on what they'd been up to. It was a kind of a discipline to say, now, what have you done? How have you grown spiritually in this last week? And people would come and say what had happened. It was a kind of discipline. But discipline also has another way of talking about it. Instead of disciplining, we could talk about discipling. And so disciples were learning as they went what it meant to be part of a church and to make a commitment to that church. That was the covenant. The covenant that God had introduced to the people. I will love you. And as a response, to listen and to live the way God intended. Well, belonging to a church, belonging to any community group, has various reasons and motivations why we might want to belong. For example, if you belong to Rotary or Probus or one of those organisations, what is it that you get from it and what is it that you give? There's a two-way thing, surely. We belong to all sorts of things. For example, COTA, Centre of the Ageing, and so we might get discounts on travel and things like that. So we belong and we offer something to that organisation, but we get something back from it. Jeremiah. Now Jeremiah, as I understand it, was quite a young man when he felt that passion inside his heart and his mind to speak out on behalf of those who were on the edges. He was a prophet. He didn't foretell the future, but he did speak out against injustices. His main task at the beginning was to speak out against the way the people had turned away from God. For example, and I think this is a wonderful picture, he was to wear a shirt for months and months on end without taking it off, without having it laundered. And at the end of that time, he was to take it off and go down to where there was a creek, and under a rock he would put the shirt and leave it there for months and months and months. And then he would go and get it out and hold it up in front of the people and say, "This is what you have become to God. A dirty, smelly rag." With the idea that people would see the error of their ways and turn back to God. So he tried other things, like he went down to the potter's place and he got a great, beautiful vase. And he came into the market square and he held this up and said, "God has created you a thing of beauty. and you have turned away from God, and God is going to destroy you. And he smashed it on the ground. Jeremiah was a preacher. And what we have in today's text, with its most wonderful passage of God's commitment and God's staying power, if you like, a God who never gives up, we have this notion of a new way of responding by the heart. There's the story of the widow who went to the judge. And Luke is sort of playing with us a bit here. Luke is sort of saying, well, you know, God needs to be approached time and time again to sort of wear God down till we get what we want. But take what Luke really is getting at, and it's the widow who is desperate and is yearning for change, where the poor of the land, where the vulnerable are heard and justice is given. So I would see this notion of the inward law is within this woman, seeing that justice needs to be done for all. Or last week's gospel was actually the people who were with leprosy, 10 men who were with leprosy, and the text tells us that Jesus had to go through the area between Samaria and Galilee. Now this is a place that is kind of no one lives, and that's where these 10 were. They had been shunned by their communities because of their condition, and why did Luke say Jesus had to go through there? I can only guess. Jesus, right through, is on the way to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, he will meet his death. He meets 10 people who are on their way to their death. They have been already shunned from their community, so they're as good as dead. And Jesus goes to them. A God who doesn't give up, who has staying power. That dream that Jeremiah had of the God who so loves that he gives a new way of responding to the covenant, to God's commitment. Or that other story that you know about the 4 men who went up onto the roof and let the man with paralysis down through the roof. Quite easy, of course. It was a bit like wattle and daub, the roof, so it was easy to sort of break up. And, you know, we could easily get sidetracked by thinking, now, what about the insurance? The owner of the house is going to say, look, will the insurance pay? I mean, you know, they will probably work out some kind of a reason why they don't have to pay. We missed the point. Those 4 had staying power. They were persistent. And I would suggest they're godlike, just as the woman in today's story was godlike. Never giving up. Persistent. So Jeremiah, who it's not a treatise, it's not a lecture given in a university, it's a sermon. And as he preached the sermon, he had a scribe called Baruch, who with his iPad, you know, he got it all down. And so this is what we have. It's preaching. And it's preaching to a people who are disparate, a people who are away from their homes, a people who are desperate. And the word is, God is within. A new way. The law is on your hearts. And Jesus remembered this when he was asked about the commandments. And he said, love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind and your strength. When the children of Israel were about to enter the promised land, as it were, the people were asked, which God are you going to serve? The gods that you knew in Egypt or the gods of the people we've met along the way, or the God who brought us out of Egypt, the God of the covenant. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And as I see in the connectedness between the two readings today and the other two that I've referred to, we are thinking of a God who is with us within our hearts and within our actions. And as we go from this place to live out the loving of God and the loving of the neighbour of ourselves, I bid you to go, as it were, with the words. You remember Dave Allen, he used to always finish his comedy sketches with, "May your God go with you."